Before the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by enduring, by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie, pray us in.
Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for this time that we are going to just share your heart, Lord God, through us. And Lord, I pray that anybody that's listening tonight that may have some struggles in their marriage or any type of preventative measures they need to take to make their marriage better or improve, that it'll just happen as we begin to teach what the word tells us about marriage and to have their marriage fulfilled. And Lord, we just thank you for it all. Holy Spirit, have your way. Move me and Pastor Tuck aside, and you have your moment. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you follow our ministry, then you know that last summer was a very difficult time for us as a family, due to the fact that Pastor Stephanie was dealing with some significant health challenges. But praise God, as you can see, she's doing a lot better. But although it was a tough time for us as a family, it was an extremely tough time for us as a couple. Because we are so close. We spend all of our time together. And when she had to go to rehab for 3 weeks, it was the first time we were apart for, I mean, just for any significant amount of time in over 20 years. You know, that was the first time we had spent more than probably 3 days apart in that length of time. Because, you know, when we first got married, I was an engineer and I traveled a lot. So I was constantly on the road, probably, you know, maybe a week or week or two at a time. But, you know, after my daughter was born, you know, I stopped all of that traveling. And, you know, from that point forward, we never spent probably more than 3 days apart. And you say, why do I bring this up? You know, well, you know, it's very difficult for us to be able to deal with that. And this was to be for us to be apart for that short period of time. It is our closeness that kept us strong through all of these trials and tribulations over the past 27 years. And so that's something that we want to talk about with you guys, because I think that that's one of the things, the reasons why so many couples struggle, because it's that habit of closeness that we have that has gotten us through tough times over these 27 years, the things that we've dealt with, because we've had all kinds of ups and downs like most anybody else. I think for some reason people think that because we're pastors, because, you know, we're saved, that we don't deal with storms of life, but we deal with storms of life like everybody else. Matter of fact, sometimes we deal with more things, because the Bible says, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So the enemy is going to attack our marriage, our family, our household, you know, more aggressively than he would somebody who's not saved. But the key is, these are some of the tools that we've had and God has given us over the years that has helped us to weather these things. And it's one of these habits that we've had of spending so much time together that's helped us get through this.
You know, I got tickled when you were talking. I was thinking about another time when we were apart. It was in our own home, because the beginning of the year, Pastor Tuck, he contracted COVID and had to be in isolation. And sure enough, when the new year was getting ready to roll in, what, 23 to 24, that was the first New Year's and Eve in all of our marriage, anytime we were together, that we did not hug each other and kiss each other to bring in the new year together. And I literally started boohooing and crying because I didn't have him with me, even though he was right in the house. So that in itself was a challenge, but we were able to get through that. And, you know, it's so important that we learn how to get through different things. And, you know, one thing we see that we don't commonly see in marriages very often is closeness. You know, it's that connection. And in fact, you know, it's the total opposite. People are often encouraged to live separate lives. To have separate interests or to be individuals, but that's not what the Bible teaches.
You always hear people talking about, you know, you can't lose yourself when you get married. You've got to say, carve out time for yourself. You've got to have your own interests. You know, you got to have girl time. You got to have guy time. You got to do these things. But these are secular concepts. And as much as people try to tell you these things are healthy, you got to recognize these are secular people telling you these things. And as well-meaning as they may be, they're not God, and they did not define or invent or create marriage, and they are not the ones who are going to sustain it. And we're telling you this for a reason, because we've seen so much of this over the years. I remember when we first got married, there were some friends of ours, and they had some, their cousins got married, I think, within a week or two of us. And I remember probably a month or two after we got married, we went and visited our friends. And we had spent the weekend with our friends. And so we're there. And the male out of the couple, who was their cousin, came over. And we're like, where's your wife? And he was like, oh, they had girls' night out last night. And so I kind of looked at my wife, and I remember later on that night, we were laying in the bed. We were in their guest room. We were laying in the bed, and I looked at her, and I said, I see you remember this morning when, you know, he came over and he said something about girls' night out. And I said, what do you think about it? And she was like, no, I don't particularly agree with that. And I said, good. I said, because I'm not with that either.
Because that was during the time, you know, before we both had a stronger walk with Christ. And at that time we were, you know, they were living in the world, and, you know, it was going to the club on a Tuesday, you know, turning up, if you will. And I was like, absolutely not.
And I told her, I said, mark my words, this is going to be a problem. I said, because this girl's night out is going to end up turning out to be girl's night out in the hotel with a man. And it wasn't 6 months later. They found out that they were having marital problems, because exactly what happened. She was hanging out in the clubs with her girlfriends on their girls' night out, and somebody approached her. And next thing you know, she's out with her girls and supposed to be out with her girls all night, and she done hooked up with somebody. And next thing you know, they're having marital problems, and less than a year later, they're divorced.
Yeah. Yep. It's unfortunate. And, you know, the Bible truly teaches us that, you know, the two shall become one flesh. So we must be united, be a united front with about our dreams, goals, and interests.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree?
Yeah, you got to be on the same page. And that requires a certain amount of spending time together. We talk about it in our book on marriage entitled The Two Will Become One Flesh. And we talk about there's a concept of leaving, cleaving, and weaving. That you know, because the Bible says a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his spouse, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, that cleaving is, you know, connecting with one another, and that weaving is that process of those two lives becoming one. And you can't do that if you're constantly trying to be separate, because they will never join together. It's like when you put Kool-Aid, you know, in water. There has to be a stirring. There has to be a process of actually trying to mix those two. Because if you're constantly trying to keep them separate, they're never going to become one homogeneous solution, as they say in science class when you're in high school. They're never going to mix. They're never going to become one that's going to be inseparable. And that's where that problem is. We never put in that type of effort.
And, you know, does that mean that, you know, we can't have separate interests?
No. Absolutely not.
You know, Pastor Tuck and I have separate interests, but, you know, we don't go, well, okay, we're not close because we do. You know, we offer each other the opportunity to explore our interests, but we share it with each other. And Paul reminds us that we should not look only to our own interests, but the interests of others.
And I think that's where the problem comes in. We become so wrapped up in the things we're interested in that, and we want to keep those things to ourselves, and we develop these worlds to ourselves of the things that we like.
Wow.
That we just go off to ourselves because this is what I do and that's what she does. And so now you find yourself spending all your time in your world and she spends all her time in her world, and the two never meet.
Yeah.
Where it says you should look not only to your interests, but the interests of others. So you should be trying to figure out what are the things that she's interested in. Mm-hmm. She should be trying to figure out what are the things that he's interested in. Because that's the best part of marriage. Mm-hmm. Her starting to like the things you like and you starting to like the things that she likes. Because if you got married, that was the whole purpose of getting married, is the fact that this is the person I want to spend my time with. You know, I remember when we first got married, you know, back then, like you said, we were unsaved. So, you know, some of the things that I like to do were unsaved activities. You know, I like to drink. I like to smoke cigars. I like to play cards. And, you know, I did those things with my boys. But when I first got married, I introduced her to those things because it was like, if that's the case, I'm not going to be leaving her to go with my boys. So I'm like, you know, I would rather do them with her because she's the person that I want to be with.
Yep. And I will beat him in cards. No,
yeah, sorry. Right.
I've got, pow. Okay, anyway. So, woo. So, you know, it's important that we prioritize being together more than being apart.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we have to get to that place where we recognize how important it is to make sure that we're spending time together. And once again, we're not talking about you can't have, you know, spend time with your friends or spend time. But one of the ways that we really think that that should be done, one of the things that was so important about that is in finding that and maintaining common ground. And one of the tools that we saw that was real instrumental in that, what we did was we found couples mm-hmm. that were like interests. So for example, we found other couples that had healthy marriages. Mm-hmm. And so that if I felt like I needed to spend some time with the fellas,
yeah,
we found a nice healthy couple that we could hang out with. And so that meant she could go and sit in the living room and they could sit there and have girl talk and watch their favorite girl movie or whatever. And he and I could go to his man cave or whatever and we could watch the game and sit back and laugh and talk and do what guys do, you know, and that way. And still we went home together at the end of the night mm-hmm. and I felt like I had some time with the guys and she felt like she had some time with the girls, but we were still together.
Yeah.
It did not cultivate this divided mentality that now I'm leaving her at home for hours at a time because I'm out somewhere, or she's leaving me at home for a day at a time because she's out somewhere and mm-hmm. we're gone. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that if for a day she wants to go shopping, she can't go shopping. Or if I want to go and shoot ball or go to the shooting range for a day, I can't mm-hmm. go do it. But the thing is, you've got to learn how to prioritize and make it important that you find and maintain this common ground.
And prioritize.
Yes, and yeah. prioritize it and make sure that this is what is important. This comes mm-hmm. before everything. So this evening, we want to talk about this simple concept that will help foster that sense of oneness in your home, and that's quality time.
Yep.
Yeah. Quality time, you know, that gift of togetherness, cultivating quality time in your marriage.
So let's dissect and reflect on a vital aspect of our relationships, that spending quality time together. As we know, you know, life gets busy, which makes it easy to lose sight of the importance of nurturing our marriages, because life sure enough can get busy.
Yeah.
You know, many of us talk about our love languages, you know, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, and so on. But do you notice, or we've noticed, that husbands and wives both express quality time? Is it because they are already spending time together, or giving their spouse a subtle hint that this is what they need?
Yeah. I mean, and it's important. Matter of fact, if you look at the scriptures in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good, more satisfying reward for their labor. See, it no matter what it is you're going through, whether it is an emotional situation or a physical situation, you know, a mental challenge, whatever it is, it's better when you've got two people. You know, if I've got something that is pressing me, you know, that I'm concerned about, it's better when I got my wife there and we can talk this thing through. It's better if I've got something, whether it's something that whether we have to sort through, you know, my wife and I, we do the bills together. You know, one of the things she does, she helps me because she goes through the mail and she organizes and she pulls aside the things that need to be paid, the things that need to be taken care of. She sorts out, takes care of the junk mail. That way I don't have to spend my time going through, sorting through all of this junk mail that piles into the mailbox every day. And so now I can take my time and address the things that need to be addressed. So two are better than one. Because there's a more satisfying reward for our labor.
Yeah.
Like I said, whether it's doing the laundry. Like I said, she does the laundry and she pulls them out and we fold the clothes together. We do these things because it makes life easier when we're together and we're working together. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the task is, it's helpful mm-hmm. when you're working together. It makes your marriage more rewarding and it makes it more satisfying. And it makes it easier for you all because, like you said, if there's something going on, then you don't feel like I'm carrying this by myself. It doesn't stress you out and it doesn't make you resentful toward your partner mm-hmm. because they're not there.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of people you find when we start doing counseling, mm-hmm. they're frustrated because it's like, you know, I feel like I'm doing all of this and they're not doing anything. Yeah. And that's the reason why. You know, we often hear couples talk about this concept of 50-50. And they always talk about that. And whenever you hear it, it's always talking about financial. Mm-hmm. And 50-50 is such a unrealistic concept because, first of all, when you go get a job and they go get a job, they don't sit there and say, okay, how much does your spouse make? Because we want to pay you the exact same so you all can have a 50-50 load in your household. They don't say that. And because of that, 50-50 is unrealistic because you're going to make two different salaries. I don't care who makes the most. 50-50 is always going to be unfair. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to physical labor, the distribution of tasks in the household is going to be unfair because somebody's going to be healthier. Somebody's going to be stronger. Somebody's mm-hmm. going to have more energy. Somebody's going to be better at something than somebody else. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to the office labor, the administrative task, somebody's going to be more gifted than somebody else. So it's never going to be fair. But when you break down the labor, the tasks that need to be done in a household, in a marriage, when everybody does their share, it's more satisfying, it's more rewarding because I've got help when I need it.
Yeah.
And that's why you always want to put that effort in to make sure that we're together. And it makes it so much easier when we're always together because now I don't have to look for you. I don't have to feel like I'm by myself and I'm being left out because it's our common practice to always be there. I can see when you're tired because we're together. Mm-hmm. I can see when you're stressed because we're together. I can see when you're unhappy because you don't have to feel like, oh, he never asked me how I'm doing. We're always together, so I know how you're doing. Mm-hmm. You follow me? And that's why it makes sense. He says, for if they fall, one can lift up his fellow. See, if you're already there, I already know when you're down and I can pick you up. He said, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Mm-hmm. See, when you have a bad day, just imagine you're out doing your thing because that's what you do. You out doing your thing, whether it's shopping with the girls or it's going to the game, go play shooting ball with the fellas or whatever it is you're doing. And that other person is at home and they get the phone call that their parent has had a major health crisis or their parent just passed away or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now they have to deal with that issue by themselves because you're not there. Yeah. They're dealing with something. They have something that comes that's major and you're not there. And I'm not saying you're always going to be there, but the likelihood, if you're always doing separate things, is when they need you, you won't be. He says, again, if two lie down together, then they have warmth. But how can one be warm alone?
Ooh, it gets mighty cold in that bed by itself.
Yeah. See, these are the things that you don't think about when they have that mentality. Well, I got to have my own identity. I got to have my own life. But see, why did you get married then?
Right.
See, these are the reasons why we got married, because we knew that we would be better together, but the world keeps telling us that you'd be better separate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these mentalities did not come from the Lord. He says, and though a man might prevail against him who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Mm-hmm. See, that threefold cord is not an extra person in your marriage, but that extra person is Christ. See, when you're together and you have Christ in the center of your marriage, he said that it's not going to be easy to break you. That's why I told you when we went through what we went through earlier this last year, when we went through that, because we were already close and Christ was at the center, no matter how bad it got, and we were going to be all right.
Yeah, it was tough, but we were all right.
And see, it's key for us to realize God created us for relationship. Mm-hmm. The scripture reminds us of that we can accomplish more and support each other through life's challenges. And quality time provides us an opportunity to uplift one another, fostering that spirit of collaboration and encouragement.
Yep.
Matter of fact, in Mark chapter 10, it tells us that the two shall become one flesh. So that they no longer are two, but one flesh. Mm-hmm. Yep. See, marriage is a divine union. And when we invest quality time in our relationship, we deepen our connection and the understanding of each other.
Yes.
This deep emotional oneness is not just physical. It's emotional and spiritual.
Yeah.
See, by spending time together, it helps us to grow into the unity that God desires for us.
And there's a difference between unity, definitely, versus strife.
Yep. See, we've seen it before in marriages where they're constantly at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
See, because they have this individual mindset, because each one of them have their own agenda. They have their own mindset. They've got their own vision. And see, two visions is called division.
Yep. Yep.
So the house is divided. And the Bible says a house divided cannot stand.
That's right.
We've seen it too many times. And the lack of understanding and connection gives room for the enemy to turn what is supposed to be divine into division. And that division will always lead to divorce. See, the nature of love itself is togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul tells us in the Corinthian letter, he says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it does not insist on its own way.
Wow, wow.
Oh, you better hear what he just said.
Right?
See, ooh. Love does not insist, I got to have my own time, I got to do my own thing. I got to, you see, love, that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, God is love. And he, the only commandment Jesus gave us was to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we walked into a relationship that we said was about love from the beginning.
Right.
But he said, that's not love to insist on your own way. To get irritable when you don't have your own way. He said, it's not irritable or resentful.
Yeah.
You resenting somebody because I never get any time for myself. That's not love.
Nope.
It does not rejoice at wrongdoings. It rejoices with the truth.
Yes.
And the truth is, Paul said, not to look out for your own interests, but the interests of others.
Yeah.
See, love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love is what gives us the ability to endure all things.
Mm-hmm.
When we start treating one another and spending that time with one another the way God intended, it gives us that ability to endure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, watch this. True love is demonstrated through our actions. When we spend quality time together, we practice these attributes of love. It's in those moments of connection that we show patience,
mm-hmm.
kindness, and understanding.
Yep.
We strive to embody this love in our daily interactions.
That's right. And, you know, we've been married for such a long time that, you know, we are able to keep each other accountable. Like, you know, he can tell that I haven't been in my word or I haven't been praying because of the type of interactions I have with him. And because he knows that, sometimes it don't even have to be spoken. You know, we are so close and we are so together. We spend so much quality time together. He knows what I need to fortify myself. And I know he needs peace in the home in order for him to fortify himself so that we both together, you know, will be unified in whatever we do. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interests of others. We keep saying that because too many times people bring selfishness. They're selfish when they get married. They're selfish when they have children, you know, and sin is a direct result of selfishness, you know, and that's not what we're supposed to do.
Watch this. When we were going through this ordeal this summer with Pastor Stephanie's health challenge,
mm-hmm.
she was in the rehab facility, and it was a young lady who was dealing with the same health issues that she had.
Mm.
And she was a younger lady,
mm.
and she was very depressed, and she was dealing with it. So Pastor Stephanie found herself ministering to her, and the young lady broke down and was sharing her story with her. And the young lady had been married for 14 years,
mm-hmm.
and she had had this same diagnosis for 13 of those 14 years.
Yeah.
And she broke down and was crying because She's in this facility. She can't walk. She's in a wheelchair. The same as Pastor Stephanie was found herself in that same condition. And she's talking to her and she's telling her right when she's in here, she had just been admitted. Yep. Right before she goes there, her husband had just given her divorce papers because he said he needed his own life. He needed a life
he
for
needed
himself.
A life. Yep. Yep.
For himself.
Yep.
See, he was so interested in his own thing that he had no concern for his wife. And at some point, he must have forgotten the vows that he took that said for better or for worse,
right?
For richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health. Mm-hmm. See, because I wondered, and when Pastor Stephanie told me, it broke my heart because I'm like, and I told her, I said, the thing that hit me was, I said, he will never know what it is to serve his wife.
That's right. That's right.
I said, he'll never know what that means. See, because most people never recognize. See, we think that you're in love with this person because, oh, they're so fine, because they're so pretty, or because, you know, they look so good, and you know, and you think this physical, that you think this Eros kind of love. You don't even know what true love is. See, because when you walk into that commitment love, that agape love, that serving love, when you actually, that's when you truly know what love is. You know, God showed it to me this way. You know, men understand it because you see somebody with a classic car, let's say a 1970 Chevelle SS. And I'm talking about, I mean, fully restored candy apple red with the white leather tires on it. I'm talking nice factory, everything fully restored, original condition.
Yeah.
You open up the hood, everything's shining. And you ask them, you say, man, how much you want for that car? Oh, no, that's my baby right there. Mm-hmm. And they actually talk about it as if it has a personality.
Yeah.
And the reason is because when they found it, it was rusted out in the back of some farm. And somebody, they went and bought that rusted out body, and they had to buff out and cut out that rust spot and fill it in with primer and actually sand that thing down and paint it. And then they had to go and source all of the original parts and put that thing back together piece by piece. And now you see them, and now they wash that thing two times a week, and they wax it, and they keep it covered, and they keep it in the garage, and they only drive it on special occasions and all that kind of stuff. They take it to car shows and they love it. Why? Because of the effort and the time and the energy they have invested in it.
Yeah, it's an investment. That's right.
See, they treat that car different than they even would an $80,000 car they had bought off the lot. Why? Because of what they have invested in it. Mm-hmm. See, you don't even understand, because if you've never invested anything in your marriage, that's why your marriage don't mean nothing to you.
Sure. And when you make your interest or anything all about you, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in that self-absorbed behavior.
See, watch this. We don't get it. The Bible tells husbands, love your wives like Christ did the church. The reason why Jesus loves you like he does is because he gave up his life for you. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't even understand what I have invested in you. That's why I refuse to leave you, how crazy you are, how much sin you do. He said, I don't care what you do, I ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Why? He said, because I've invested too much in you.
Yep.
But you got people turn around and walk away from the marriage. Why? Because they haven't invested anything in.
And even though they may walk away, you know, sometimes people literally take it as like walk away, like they're actually leaving. You could walk away from a marriage and be in the same house.
Yes, because you've never made an investment.
You become roommates, basically, right?
See, quality time is about prioritizing each other.
Yep.
See, how often do we get caught up in our own lives and forget to tune into the other partner's needs by spending intentional time together? See, we can learn to genuinely care for and support one another. For example, love will assist you when there is a need to listen and understand to your spouse's interests. See, it's not all about you.
Yeah.
When you get caught up, you become self-absorbed.
Yep, that's right.
See, we've seen people all the time that they're so caught up in what they got going on. Mm. Their job, mm-hmm. their business, mm-hmm. whatever. And they're not paying any attention to what's going on with their spouse.
That's right. You know, when I was just thinking about this, I said, when I would go to the mall with my mama to shop, one thing she would always say is, Stephanie, quality is more important than quantity. Quality takes time to develop and will withstand the elements of time. Because literally, I have bought clothes before that have lasted for 20 years. Y'all think I'm playing? I'm serious. Because of the quality. And quantity will shrink like cheap clothing. Replacing it is easy if you have large quantities. But the question is, will it last? And I giggled thinking about, you know, Pastor Tuck and his oranges, you know, he will schedule a visit, literally, on his calendar. He knows when it's time for these oranges to come in. And he schedules it to get the good ones. You know, he'll take the time to find out where the truck is. And he trusts the quality because they last. Because you've cultivated a relationship. You know, they knew what type of oranges, how many boxes, and put them over to the side for you, didn't they?
Yeah. See, y'all don't even understand what she's talking about. It's like, everybody who knows me knows this. There's a grower in Florida that drives a truck through North Carolina and Virginia once a month from November to March during orange season. And they have these oranges. They're the best oranges you'll ever put your mouth on. And literally, I spend almost $200 a month on oranges during that season. And people say, you crazy. I'm like, you never tasted one if you think so.
Right.
And literally, I went and got my oranges today. And it's crazy. These guys know me. I got their personal phone numbers. And when I moved to North Carolina, I knew exactly where my orange connection was before I moved to this house. I had to make sure that when I moved from Virginia to here, that I still had a place to meet them to go and pick up my oranges. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, when I went and got my oranges today, when I got there, the kind of oranges that I get are special oranges, to the point that they weren't out on the table where everybody else was getting. I saw people getting oranges and leaving, and everybody else was getting. My oranges weren't even on the table. And when I walked up to the table, I was looking and I didn't see my oranges out. The guy asked me, told me, he called out the name of the oranges I wanted, and he said, how many boxes? Grabbed my boxes off this truck and put my boxes on the cart, because didn't nobody else even know the kind of oranges that I was getting. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand, like you said, quality is something totally different.
Yeah.
And that's why when we talk about quality time, it's important that you cultivate something special mm-hmm. between you and your spouse. Not something that you and everybody else have. This is something that's special.
Right.
And that's why you've got to set aside time that's just for y'all. You got to plan regular date nights. You got to make it a priority to schedule time that's just for the two of you. That could be as simple as dinner at home or a night out. It's not about the activity. It's the intention behind it. Focusing on each other.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important. The intention behind it. You know, are your intentions pure? You know, ladies, are your intentions used to manipulate? You know, we even talk about that. And many times, you know, quality time can formulate intimacy. Intimacy can then turn into sexual intimacy. So, you know, sometimes the intentions are wrong for manipulation. But, you know, you have to be able to do that, to recognize and say, okay, where's my focus? What is my intention to be able to, you know, spend more time with my spouse?
Yes. And quality time does not have to have anything to do with sex.
No. Nope.
Let's put that on the table, because I get tired of hearing people, men, pastors, I don't care who it is, talking about how a man's number one need is sex. Let's get that off the table, because first of all, you have to understand sex It may be something that is very nice. It may be something very on your high priority list, something that you want more than your number one want, but it is not a need.
Right.
Because you lived however many years it was, whether it was 10, 15, 20, however many years you lived on this planet without it, and you still lived and did not die. So it is not a need. It is a high desire on your list.
Mm-hmm.
And it will. You will not die without it. So people need to stop saying that as a need of yours.
Yeah,
it's a desire. And you have to recognize when you put things out there and say stuff like that, you start operating on a different scale. And then what happens when those things are not feasible?
Right.
Like you said.
People get sick.
Like
you
said.
People have a baby.
Exactly. My wife just went through a 6-week period where she was bedridden, could not walk, could not get in and out of the bed by herself. We literally physically had to pick her up and put her in and out of the bed. Then she had to go to a rehab facility for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So where do you think sex was anywhere near that? And so where do you think attitudes would be if that was a priority mm-hmm. on your list?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand what your relationship has to be built upon. And that's why these things are so important for you to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know what kind of challenges are going to come.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll allow the enemy to start manipulating you.
Sure enough. Yep. It can cause, sometimes it can cause a level of resentment, especially if someone thinks they need that all the time. And, communication can just snap apart. And Satan knows how to build those things up, build it up, and it simmers and simmers and simmers until one day your spouse says, look, I want a divorce. I'm tired of this.
And I'm closer to my wife than I've ever been throughout that ordeal.
Yeah.
And so you've got to understand what this is.
Yeah.
Because like I said, when you spend quality time together, so you can just simply do that just by engaging in shared activities.
Yeah.
Discover hobbies and interests that you can do together, shared experiences that strengthen your bond and create lasting memories.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to the rehab facility. And like I said, we have shows that we watch every night together.
Yep.
We used to have shows we watch every night through every week. That come on, and like I said, and we record those shows and we watch them on our streaming device.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would actually take my streaming device to the rehab facility because I wouldn't watch the shows without her. And I would go and sit in the recliner beside her bed in the rehab, and then we would catch up on our shows together because that allowed us to still have our quality time.
He will pick up something to eat, we would eat, talk, and again, enjoy our shows. And it would blow the people that work there. It would just mess them up. They would come in, what is it, movie night? They were surprised that this was even set up in my room like that. And that's because we both know each other's shared activities and interests. We enjoy each other.
Yeah. Like I said, we play games together. One of the things that I discovered, and like I said, if you follow us on social media, like I said, during that time, because I had such a hard time being away from her, my daughters introduced me to a new hobby. Like I said, I now make Lego models. Like I said, it's something that's my piece. And over Christmas, I introduced her to it.
Yep.
And so now we do Lego models together.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, both of us now, we listen to audiobooks.
Yep.
Like I said, whether it's cooking, you got to find something that you all can do together so that you can have fun and spend time together. Like I said, and during those activities, it gives you opportunity to communicate openly. It gives you that time to have meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
To set aside distractions and engage in discussions. Focus on the present, not just proximity.
Mm-hmm.
It requires active listening to talk about your dreams, the challenges, experiences. And this deepens your emotional connection. But that requires that active listening.
Yep. And you're supposed to focus on the presence of the individual, the presence of your spouse. Because we can get so distracted and then our attention is focused elsewhere.
Yep. And that's why it's important to create tech-free zones. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when you're doing stuff like that, when we sit at the table and playing and building and doing our Lego and stuff like that, most of the time we take our phones and sit them off to the side. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if we turn something on, we turn the TV on in the background or turn on Alexa and start playing some music, and then we start doing our activity so that we can have a conversation and just enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because in this digital age, it's essential to disconnect from these devices because yes. They take away your time.
Sure enough.
Designate these specific times or areas in your home where the technology is set aside, allowing for that genuine interaction.
Genuine, not fake. Genuine.
Disconnection means a reconnection that will cultivate quality time. See, it is so important for us to make sure that we spend this kind of time together, yeah. That we make sure that we understand how important it is for us mm-hmm. to engage with one another, because this person is the person that means the most to you and you want them to know it.
Yep.
And this relationship is the most important relationship. This is the only relationship that God gave you that told you that this one right here, they said you will leave your mother and father and cleave to your spouse.
Yeah.
And so when people say my kids are the most important, no, they're not, because they're going to leave you and get a spouse of their own. Yeah. And you're going to leave your parents. So this is the relationship.
That's right.
And so when you invest in it, you don't have to worry about divorce. You don't have to worry about it not being there. Mm-hmm. But you've got to invest in it. You've got to cultivate it.
And, you know, by spending quality time with your spouse, it will help build your foundation so much stronger that, you know, it won't be torn apart by anybody else. You know, the whole purpose of quality time is to connect. And that's my buddy right there. So, you know, I know he's got my back and he knows I have his. And that's because of the concept of quality time. And figuring out, you know, what's needed to be done to keep us connected and close.
Yeah, we pray this blessed you. We pray we've given you some ideas, some things to think about. You need to now go and spend some time with your spouse. Sit down, talk about mm-hmm. what kind of things that you like, what kind of things that you all can do together. Mm-hmm. Like I said, figure out a regimen, so figure out some kind of system where you can start spending more quality time together. But we pray this blessed you. I'm Pastor Chuck. This is Pastor Stephanie, and this is Seer Training. Yeah. And we want to see your marriage grow.
Yes.
But if you've been blessed by any of this teaching, any of the teaching here on the My Church channel, and you want to help us continue to do the ministry that God has given us here at My Church Virtual Ministries, we want to give you that opportunity. Like I said, you can go and sow into this ministry at $ My Church channel on Cash App, or visit our website at lovemychurch.org and click sow a seed, but continue to support this ministry. We've got all kinds of different ministries. We've got the Man Cave, Women of Worth, Marriage Seer Training. We have Leadership Academy. Mm-hmm. We have Heart of the Pastor, Medicine for the Mind. We've got all kinds of ministries that we have here to give you the full Christian experience mm-hmm. to make sure that you have a full stream of faith network to help you be the believer God wants you to be. But God bless you. We love you. Stay tuned for our announcements and make sure you come back and see us again. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you again soon.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you.
Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, mm-hmm. anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know. At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word.
it's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move? Check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.